Today, low rates, no rates, speculate more and hoard cash. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. In the era of low cash rates and even negative interest rates, thanks to central bank monetary policy, the fallout is extreme. And given the RBA meets on Tuesday to consider the cash rate settings in Australia, it's worth reflecting on the evidence. Banks, it seems, will adopt two strategies. First, speculate more, and second, hoard cash. And they may be tempted to lend less. And given that banks create money when they lend, if they lend less, then banking gets turned on its head. For more on this, see How Banks Create Money in our post, The Art of Credit Creation. In terms of speculating more, the financial results from Wall Street banks this past couple of weeks have revealed that returns are under pressure because of the low interest margins between loans and deposits. But those who have moved into more speculative trading activities have done significantly better, thanks to recent market volatility. On the whole, and before the coronavirus hit on Friday, I should say, the financial sector underperformed the broader market during its first earnings week of 2020. The portion of the S&P 500 dedicated to finance, which includes giants like JP Morgan, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, rose a modest 0.5% in the week when those financial giants reported their earnings. That's about one-third of the 1.4% increase in the broader S&P 500 index. Now, on first blush, that underperformance may not be as bad as it appears, because banks are, of course, especially sensitive to interest rates, because they collect high interest from loans while offering lower interest rates for deposits. And with interest rates falling over the past year, thanks in good part to the Federal Reserve's more dovish actions, it's gotten harder for banks to eke out significant profits from the various interest-dependent business lines. Now, that's the bad news for shareholders, but the good news for them is that some of the conglomerate banks last quarter did a decent job in finding other ways to make money. Firm bank earnings came amid challenges for the industry when you consider the low interest rate situation, said J.J. Kinahan, chief market strategist at TD Ameritrade. Banking is the sector that had to work against the macroeconomic environment more than any other after the Fed cut interest rates three times last year. Those Fed cuts appear to have a mixed but overall positive move for the biggest, most diversified banks. On one hand, the Fed's rate cuts hurt their net interest income, a key bank metric that tracks the difference between the interest rates that banks pay to depositors and the interest rates they take in from borrowers. In early 2019, net interest income was relatively high for many of the big banks. The more the Fed cut, the more this metric declined. Net interest income at JP Morgan, perhaps the most robust Wall Street titan in recent quarters, shrank 2% at the end of 2019, well below the 8% growth rate it enjoyed in the first quarter of the year. At Bank of America, meanwhile, net interest income fell 3.2% over the last quarter, and at Wells Fargo, it fell an amazing 11%. For each of these banks, the trend doesn't bode well, as this vital indicator shrinks quarter by quarter. The silver lining for many of these banks was that they were able to find other areas of growth beyond interest income. If bank stocks were vacillating and underwhelming this past week, it's probably because investors were parsing out the winners from the losers. Morgan Stanley fared the best, rising 10%, while Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and JP Morgan rose about 2%, and Bank of America was flat. Wells Fargo, meanwhile, brought up the rear, closing down 6% on the past week. Charles Schwab, who became the bank's third CEO in the past year, claimed last week that many of the bank's struggles still have to do with the turmoil that Wells Fargo had faced in the wake of a scandal involving fabricated consumer accounts. Still, he added, lower rates took a bite out of its earnings. It's the rates, right? They dropped in 2019, Schwab told investors, and we expect them to remain relatively flattish in 2020. Contrast Wells Fargo's challenges with those outlined by the hardscrabble optimism of other big banks. There may be uncertainty and even turmoil in some parts of the global markets, but these can present trading opportunities for clients, which can in turn mean more revenue for the banks themselves. While we face a continued high level of complex geopolitical issues, global growth stabilized, albeit at a lower level, and the resolution of some trade issues helped support client and market activities towards the end of the year, said JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon. Those words might sound like Wall Street exhaling a sigh of relief in late 2019. The key phrase, though, is client activity. In the low interest rate world of 2020, the name of the game isn't so much companies borrowing at those reduced rates, let alone those trying to retire on them. It's the growing niche of wealth management or reaching out to families with enough money to actively trade on opportunities that a low interest rate world provides. Take Morgan Stanley, the clear winner from the earnings season so far. It saw a steady but moderate growth in its profits from managing money for wealthier households. We have increased the profitability of a wealth management business, Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman said on last week's earnings call. That unit, which yielded 10% profit margins a few years ago, will deliver a 30% profit margin in coming years, he said. In short, the tried and tested business model of banks borrowing money from depositors, loaning it back to other clients at a profit, offers pretty thin returns these days. But low interest rates can create trading opportunities for firms willing to capitalize on such shifts in an ever-churning market, which in turn is giving bank stocks just enough fuel to keep their rally going for now. And of course, they will be tempted to go further and continue to use derivatives to trade on their own behalf to increase the returns from the volatile trading environment. So keep a watch out for continued rises in overall derivative exposures, which are very risky, by the way, and also a quest for returns from trading activities, because volatility is a winner for them, even if not for many others. Now let's go to hoarding cash. In the US, the International Monetary Fund noted last year that the number of $100 notes in circulation had for the first time in history overtaken the number of $1 bills in circulation. The number of $100 bills has doubled since the global financial crisis. It's a similar story in Australia. The Reserve Bank of Australia has put more than $76 billion worth of polymer banknotes into circulation, of which the vast majority, 93%, are $50 and $100 bills. The RBA bulletin in March last year reported on a cross-country analysis of high denomination notes in circulation, and it found that there had been an above-average increase in their use in recent years, and that the ratio of the value of banknotes in circulation to nominal GDP is currently close to its 50-year peak at around 4% in Australia. So much for cash disappearing. The RBA recognises that there is a demand for banknotes to be used as a store of value, and this is thought to be particularly important during times of significant financial instability and applies especially to high denomination banknotes. And this might help to explain why there are reckoned to be 14 $100 bills in circulation for every Australian in the current population. But now let's look at the German banks in the context of negative interest rates, courtesy of Bloomberg. German banks are stuffing vaults with money to help offset the mounting costs of negative interest rates, and some of them are running out of space. The physical cash holdings of German banks rose to a record 43.4 billion euros, or 48 billion US dollars, in December, according to Bundesbank data published on Friday. That's almost triple the amount at the end of May 2014, the month before the European Central Bank started charging for deposits and raising the pressure on Germany's already beleaguered banks. As the economy weakened last year in the face of international trade disputes, the ECB pushed rates further below zero to stoke inflation in the euro area by making it even cheaper for companies and individuals to borrow. And while lenders also benefit from growth, Negative rates are a threat to German banks because they rely heavily on interest from loans and sit on a mountain of deposits. These days, it's better to keep funds in cash rather than park them with the ECB, said Andreas Scholz, who runs a savings bank close to Berlin. That's despite the risk, insurance costs, and logistical hassle involved. It's a ludicrous demonstration of the consequences of the ECB's interest rate policy. Right now, there isn't enough space for the cash that many banks want to hold. Pro Alurium, a Munich-based precious metals trader, received several requests from banks to store notes in its vault. However, the firm had to turn them down because of a lack of capacity. The ECB's negative interest rates makes hoarding cash attractive, said Frank Schaeffler, a German member of parliament with the opposition Free Democrats. This is just the beginning. If it continues, we'll see a boom for vault makers and security companies. Accepting deposits to fund loans is at the heart of banking, but European lenders are awash in liquidity and argue that they can't pass it all on in the form of credit. That leaves them sitting on billions of euros they have to take to the ECB or find another solution for. Holding more cash isn't enough for a banking sector with about 3 trillion euros of deposits to escape the burden of negative rates. The Association of German Banks expects the ECB's charge to cost the country's lenders about 2 billion euros a year. Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank, Germany's biggest publicly traded lenders, are also contending with side effects of the ECB stimulus. The two firms are pursuing radical overhauls and cutting thousands of jobs after negative interest rates and the spread of digital technology upended their business models. That includes passing on the charges for deposits to corporate and wealthy clients. However, it's more complicated and sometimes illegal to apply the same policy to the broad mass of retail customers. We are managing our balance sheet in a more dynamic fashion to mitigate the drag from liquidity reserves, Deutsche Bank's chief executive officer, Christian Suing, said in December. Germany is hit hard because its citizens save more than most other Europeans and avoid riskier products that earn bank fees. The country's savings rate was around 10% in 2017, almost twice the euro area average, according to Deutsche Bank economist last year. Germany held just 21% of their 6.6 trillion euros of financial assets in the form of investment funds, shares, certificates and bonds, according to DZ Bank. The volume of notes the bank are squirreling away is small compared with the deposits they hold, but the trend is fuel for German critics of the ECB, who say negative rates are reaching their limit and not stimulating the economy as policymakers intended. In the ECB's defence, its own estimates show that without the central bank's wider policy actions, real GDP in the euro area would be as much as 2.7 percentage points lower at the end of 2018. The ECB has also hit back at German lenders' criticism of its negative rates, saying that inefficient banks should focus on reducing costs rather than simply blaming accommodative monetary policy for their problems. To be sure, the ECB has sought to limit the side effects of its negative rates by exempting a portion of deposits held at the central bank from the charges. That system, known as tiering, may have eased the pressure on banks, according to the Association of German Cooperative Banks. The group expects its members to have cut their combined cash holdings at the end of 2019 from previous years. Germans were already well known for their love of physical money and data privacy. Until 2017, cash accounted for more than half of all transactions, according to the Bundesbank. That may explain why lenders aren't the only hoarders. Wealthy individuals are also increasingly resorting to cash, potentially to avoid charges at their banks. We're seeing increased demand for our safe deposit boxes, frequently for storing cash, said Markus Weiss, a managing director at Degassa Gold Handel. That high demand has lasted for months now, and we're continuously expanding our capacities, said Weiss, whose company sells gold and offers clients space to store their valuables. But, standing back, households are getting caught in the crossfire because on one hand, banks are actually lending less, not more, and are paying lower rates on deposits held with the banks or indeed charging for them. Plus, the amount of cash being put into the system may be going up, but much of it is being hoarded by banks as a hedge against low or negative rates. This whole monetary policy edifice just looks pretty unstable to me. And now reflect on the recent IMF working paper that said central banks would need to cut the cash rate by up to 5% to mitigate a financial crisis. And as we discussed yesterday, the coronavirus might be such a trigger, in which case rates in Australia would need to go negative minus 4%. And in that context, the cash ban restrictions take on a whole new impact. And we expect banks would hoard cash. And this may already help to explain why the RBA is seeing vast amounts of cash not evident in the system. Frankly, monetary policy needs a reboot. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.